brothers and sisters in Christ. This was one of those messages that I had a hard time deciding just what to say. There's so much that can be said about light and how it relates to God, how it relates to us as image bearers of God. I want to just point out that the very first words of God in the Bible are, "Let there be light." We learn in the scriptures that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Wherever God is present, there is light. And wherever God is present in His light, life, there is beauty, there is glory, and there's life. One could easily surmise from the way the creation story is laid out for us is that God saw the darkness, and the Bible says darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Light signifies the presence of God. And wherever God is, there's life. It's in the context of God's loving presence that creation comes to be. And at the end of each day of creation, God said, God saw what He had made, and behold, it was good. All of creation speaks to the goodness and the glory of God. All of creation displays His handiwork. All of creation shows forth His glory. Beautiful. So when we look at creation, we may certainly see that there is a bondage in creation. Things are not all the way they should be in creation. Susan and I went camping a couple weeks ago, and I can tell you that we saw beauty, but we also experienced some of the fallenness. I can't believe that God wanted mosquitoes to be so mean. And these little flies, it seemed that the only thing they had in mind was to land on us and bite us really hard. Little flies. But it doesn't take a lot to look around and to see the glory of God in creation. And people who can't see it are simply blind. The earth declares the glory of God. The same thing is true with us as light bearers of God. Just as the creation shows forth His handiwork and we are led to glorify God as we see the beauty in creation, so too, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? And glorify your Father in heaven." The whole creation is a reflection of the glory and splendor and magnificence of God, who is love, who gives himself to us. So too our lives must reflect the goodness, the love, and the beauty of God, so that when people see us and see the light of God in our lives, they are led to glorify God. This is the Sunday of the Holy Fathers. Deacon Jeff pointed out to me one of the hymns that we sang this morning. And it points out how the fathers of the church have been the shepherds that have guarded the truth of the gospel throughout the age of the church. And one of the things that a shepherd must do is to chase away the wolves. It's the duty of the shepherd to protect the sheep. And one of the songs refers to those heretics as diseased wolves that our fathers drove away in order to protect us so that we could have the truth. I try my hardest to live with an open mind. I want to understand people. I don't want to condemn people. I don't want to call people wolves. I don't want to call them diseased wolves. But all of us have every potential to be a diseased wolf. And especially we need to be on guard when it comes to the leaders of God's church. I'm going to say this because I believe it's in our culture. It is the big thing in our culture. I know of Christian people who think it's all right and it's simply up to the woman to decide if she wants to abort her child. I know of Christian people who say it's all right and it's up to the choice of the individual person to decide how they want to live their lives and express their sexual passions. I'm not here to condemn. We don't go around condemning people. We go around praying for people. But when we have the truth, we let that light shine. We do it for the very purpose of bringing life to the world, of protecting people from the harm and danger of the evil one. I need the light of the gospel. I need the light of Christ. I need the light that the holy fathers of the church so beautifully and so faithfully put on a lampstand so that all the world could see what is truth, could see God in his glory, and could experience life in this world as blessing. I need that, and so do you. I said we're not here to condemn, but we're here to let the light shine. And if we love ourselves really, we are going to follow the light. No matter what happens, we will follow the light. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Not my own feelings, not my own passions, but thy word. You know, I was thinking when I read that passage about thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I was thinking about how, you know, it is so easy for us who have the truth to shine that light and to put it right in someone's eyes. There it is. There's the truth. And what happens when someone shines that light right in your eyes? It's like it's in your face. Blinding. Are we really allowing the light to bring life? Light, as it's expressed that way, hurt and harm and drive good people away from God. But we are here to speak the truth in love. Let your light so shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When we see how the light appeared in the scriptures, I think of how Moses saw the light in the burning bush. He was confronted with the living God who appeared unto him. He was amazed. He looked at that bush. He said, "How can this be?" And the voice, what did the voice say? "Moses, take off your shoes. For the place on which you stand is holy ground." When we encounter God, we don't just say, "Oh, I don't know. You know, I'm not sure." No, if we encounter God, when we encounter God, we encounter the holy, and we approach him in reverence and fear. When we worship, again, I don't want to condemn, but I will say this is wrong, okay? I can say something is wrong. I remember going to a worship service where someone from Reformed Bible College had become the pastor. I knew him. And it's like he went to a Lawrence Welk show or something. He's up there with his coffee cup. And then play the guitar and drums. I don't think our shoes were being taken off. We didn't feel that we were in the presence of God. When we come for worship, this is a holy thing. Take off your shoes, for the place on which you stand is holy ground. Especially in the divine liturgy, we are in the presence of God. Now, some might say, like the disciples said to Jesus, "Oh, Lord, you know, we've got important work to do here, and you are the light of the world. Get rid of these kids." That's what we might think. We might think, "Oh, boy, how can we worship the holy God? How can we feel that we're taking off our shoes and that we're on holy ground when we've got kids running around? We've got to get rid of them." And then there may be people who just don't quite fit in. Maybe they're a little disruptive. So, got to get rid of them too. And then we end up with, you know what you really end up with after you do all these things? You end up with just yourself. Don't you really? We end up with just me and God. I'm the only one who's going to do it right. There has to be a place where it's just me and God in your private devotion, but in worship. When we come for corporate worship, the least of these among you represents Christ. So, we do affirm a holy presence of God in our worship. But let's bring into that holy presence our children. bring in people off the street. We can do more with that, can't we? This little child is singing, Holy God. We need to do more to bring people in to worship our God. That will bring glory to you. Just one more little story. I remember at St. George, and I'm not blaming any of the people. I felt the same way. There was this one man who had a great injury in his leg, and I don't think he was treating it rightly, but it stunk. And he said to it later, this is what's just because it's rotting flesh. I had someone come up to me after the service. It was during that 6-month period that I was serving as priest at St. George. And he said to me, one of the more important people in our church at St. George, you got to get that guy out of here. Get that guy out of here. No one, or he's going to drive all of us out, I'm saying we need to bring people in. We need to bring people in. We are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Father who is in heaven. We just said that God is light. The scriptures say God is light. Jesus said, I am the light. How then can it be that he says, you are the light? How can he say that we are light when God is light? I like what the Orthodox have said throughout the ages, and that is, what God is by nature, we must become by grace. What God is by nature, he is light. We must become by his grace. And I like the illustration. We don't become God, but we become like God in our life. There's fire, and then there's iron. The properties of fire can be reflected in the iron as the iron is put in the fire. The iron doesn't become fire, but it becomes so hot. The properties of fire are translated into that iron so that it is a wonderful conduction of the heat. We are to let our light so shine before men that people may see us and glorify God. So filled with the life of God, with the light of God, that we shine. When you look at the icons, the red symbolizes the life of God. Blue is humanity. Look at this icon here, the icon of Christ. He is God by nature. That's reflected in the red underneath. He took upon himself our humanity, the blue. And he infused the life of the divine God, of he himself, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, into humanity. And so when that happens, you have humanity, the Theotokos, is blue underneath. Humanity, but she's clothed with the life and light of God. We are the image bearers of God. We are to let our light so shine before men that they may give glory to our Father. May God give us grace. In the name of the Father.